This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
7 hours since you went away. 11 coffees, Ricky Lake on play. But late at night when I'm feeling blue, I sell my ass before I think of you. 7 hours since you closed the door. Started to die, you got a manicure. Erase your number from my telephone. And if you call me, my brain.
Naughty schoolboys. They really, really.
Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, good.
Why? What did she say?
No, I just swore.
You're allowed to. That's the whole.
Yeah, I know. But you don't want to come back from a song and just hear every fucking time.
Well, we did now then. Well, boys, thank you. This is like the worst goodbye. Thank you very, very much for joining us, me, today.
No.
It's
our
been a pleasure.
Well
Joey
done.
Looks shocked.
Well done. We're all going to go home now and have a nap. Hey. Power nap.
Don't rub it in. She yeah. can't do that.
Can't do that.
You're going to have a nice, nice nap.
Hate you. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Go to the pub.
Put my feet up. Probably not talk for a bit.
Mark's already stopped.
Well, guys, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. And see you soon. I've got to go to the telephone now.
Bye. But don't worry, I'll be joining you. So we'll make it a girl's time now.
Oh, well, apparently you guys, I don't really know what's happening. I think you guys might have to stay, but we're going to go
to
the phones.
No, we're going.
You're going, you're Bye. Leaving. Adios.
Are we going?
Bye, boys. Or you can go. You
I
can go.
They can't force us to stay.
No, you're like, I'm leaving. We're going to go to the phone lines very, very shortly, but we would love to hear from you. We are here until 5 p.m. for the He For She campaign with UN Women UK. So do keep your donations coming through as well. I've got Johanna James.
Hello.
Yes, in the studio.
Happy Saturday.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Good, good. Do you know what? We'll have a little chat in just a moment.
For sure.
But on the phone line right now, we've got Amanda Palmer. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
How are you?
Good morning from New York City, where it's fucking 7 o'clock.
New York
but
City.
Amazing. Yes. In New York City. First of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. Tell us and our listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh my God. I'm a songwriting, book writing, blog writing, people loving, man loving, woman loving person who makes people really angry every time I say anything and I don't understand why kind of person. That's me in a nutshell.
Literally in a nutshell.
Creative spice lady. Love it.
Yes. Obviously that's a very good description. But you've also got a tour coming up, Amanda. A UK tour. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I tour the UK a lot. I tour the world. You know, I've been touring almost nonstop for 15 years between the States and Australia and Europe, and I just came back from South Africa a couple of days ago. And I've got a big record hopefully coming out in 2019, and I need to be in the UK because my husband needs to be stationed in London. He's working on a TV show called Good Omens with all these fancy UK people like David Tennant and Michael Sheen.
UK royalty.
Yeah.
Because your husband is Neil Gaiman, is that correct?
My husband is Neil Gaiman. He's sort of semi-UK royalty, but he's been like an expat for the last 20 years, so I don't know if he's I don't know if he's allowed to say that.
You can say
he's working he's working on editing this show, and we've got a little baby who's 2 now. I guess he's not that little. And we need to be stationed in the UK, so I didn't want to do a tour kind of the large cities because I'm going to be back in the UK doing a massive tour in 2019. So I thought I would do the villages. So I'm touring, I don't know if they really count as villages, but I'm playing all these places I've never played, like Bath and Norwich and Gateshead and Carmarthen in Wales. And I'm going to be playing Brighton Festival, and I'm still sort of like, I'm still getting all the material and the show together for this massive tour that I'm doing in 2019, so it's going to be really stripped down, me at a piano and a ukulele pouring my heart out while people sit there.
Oh, amazing.
It'll be good.
I think you'll love, have you been to Brighton before?
Yeah. Last time I played in Brighton, I played Brighton Cathedral, which was really, really wonderful. Brighton's got strange venues. You know, I played my band, the Dresden Dolls, played what's it called? What's that venue that's right on the beach? It's got a weird name for a venue. It's like this long, sort of dancey, clubby venue that's right on the beach. It's called the Something 2, the Concord 2. And, you know, I've played there a million times, and then I was like, this is just not quite right for a solo piano show. So I wandered over to the cathedral, and I was like, this is a strange town.
This is a strange town.
Brighton is a strange town, but we love it. It's like
I love it.
I think it's like a mini London, but by the sea.
Yeah, and a sea that isn't really quite a beach because you want to go have a day at the beach, but you walk around and your feet hurt because of the giant.
It's just rocks, right?
Giant pebbles.
I remember that as a kid, like because I'm from the city, I'm from London, so I never got to go to the beach very often. But when I did, I ran down to the beach and was like, where are the palm trees and the white sand? Like, Mum, what is this?
Where have you taken me, Mother?
What is this rubbish? It's rocks. So, yeah.
Yeah,
the best.
Rocks. It's a poor excuse for a beach, but people really try. That's the thing. It's so British. It's like there's just this fighting fuck it spirit. We're going to pretend that this is the beach and just do all of the things that we do. Even if our feet hurt. Like,
go swimming in January. What the hell?
Yeah, let's just do it. Amanda, you know, throughout the show, we've talked a lot about sexism in the industry. What sexism have you encountered, and do you see it changing? Do you see gender equality within this industry?
Wow, that's a good question. I used to get asked that all the time back in the early days of the Dresden Dolls. You know, like, what's it like being a woman in the music industry? And I think if there's any good answer for that, I think I did what a lot of women do, which is I was sort of defensively sexist so that no one could be sexist at me, which means, you know, I took it upon myself to really act like a man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hanging out with my all-male crew, swearing like a sailor, never bothering to wear makeup or dress or, you know, you've got to be kidding, high heels. Like, you're at work, you're working with all of these dudes, and you just sort of start acting like one so that nobody singles you out as the only female in the room. And I'm not even, like, looking back, it's really confusing. I'm not even really sure how much, like, in, you know, internalized sexism I was dealing with, but I look back, and you know, that started before I was in a band. That started before I started touring. I remember being 20 years old and just looking around thinking, fuck it, I don't want to deal with this. I'm just going to shave my head and wear army pants because I don't want to deal with having to engage in this weird ass game. I just don't want to do it.
It's exhausting.
And so that's sort of this defensive structure, because I also, you know, I'm not standing here saying I really wish that I had had the freedom to wear, to wear evening gowns and nails and eyelashes and heels. Like, that didn't feel natural either. And I think one of the things that's so maddening about sexism is it ruins our compass of what really is authentic and natural, because we start second guessing and third guessing and fourth guessing our decisions. And yeah, so I mean, like, I feel like I solved that problem for myself by trying to be as confusing and as spontaneous as possible. So, like, today, you know, if I want to wear 5-inch heels, goddammit, I'm going to. If tomorrow I want to wear combat boots and shave my head again and, you know, completely look like a butch dyke, I'm going to. And if the next day I want to put on a wig and do the nails, I'm going to. And you can't pin me down, motherfucker. Yeah. And it was just more a question of, like, I'm just not going to tell you. I don't know who I am, but I know that I'm not going to let you tell me what to do.
I like this. You sound like my spirit animal, Amanda. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I do all those things. Like, I completely flip between wearing, like, Doc Martens and high heels, just depending on what I feel like.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what anyone else says.
Don't label me.
Oh, God, no.
I'll wear one each.
Right.
One heel but and then, one Doc Martin.
So that.
That's how angry I am. But there's this weird thing of, you know, knowing that it's not that random. You know, when I go to massive adult, you know, super fancy Hollywood events, you know, I try to, like, subvert, but within the structure that they want me to. And I find myself going, like, oh, like, I'm doing that thing. You know, I'm wearing this dress. I'm wearing these heels. Why am I even doing that? You know, what, like, what do I think I'm subverting by going half naked?
Who was it? I think it was Kristen Stewart. She always refused to wear the heels. She would wear a heel for a photo call on the red carpet, and then she would, like, would kick her heels off, and all the PR people would hate it because then she put her Vans on or something, and everyone was like, "No, you've got to wear the heels. It goes in the Dior.
You got to."
And so she was like, "I'll do one press photo, and then I'm going down the red carpet in my trainers."
That is amazing.
I have a totally poetic story about that. I once went to the Golden Globes because Neil had a movie up, and I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to do something really crazy. I'm, you know, so I, like,
I wore this stunning sort of see-through beaded 20s evening gown with no clothes on underneath. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but like flashing my hairy armpits at the cameras any time.
wave.
Good work.
With a, you know, but with like a full face of makeup and fancy done up hair. And I didn't have shoes with me when we were in LA. So it's like, oh, I'll just buy a pair. And the only place near the hotel that sold shoes sold like stripper heels practically. Like it was just insane. And I got this pair of 5-inch heels going like, okay, I've pulled this off before. I actually used to be a stripper. I know how to walk in heels. I can do this. I'll just get these shoes. And they were so, the heels were so high and the shoes so uncomfortable. And we had such a long night because these, this is like, you know, you do the red carpet and then you do cocktails and then you know, you sit there and then you do, and by the end of the night I actually had that thing happen where three of my toes had gone numb. And I stood there thinking like, I think I'm some, you know, here I am thinking I'm subverting, but I'm literally numb from patriarchy in my feet. And like, I mean, I took the shoes off and wandered around with them in my hands a lot of the night. But I did find myself thinking, like, it's such an interesting, like, set of lines between towing the party line and saying, like, oh, I'm going to do all of these things and, you know, subscribe to all of these standards, but I'm going to wear sneakers while I'm doing it, motherfucker. And it's like, I don't know, is that really progress? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, do you know what, Amanda, it's been so refreshing to speak to you, it really has. Annoyingly, we've got to say our farewells, but Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us today.
Yeah, all the way in New York.
All the way in New York.
Thank you guys so much for what you're doing.
Aww, thank you very, very much for talking to us. We'll be playing your song in a few minutes' time, but for now, Amanda Palmer, thank you very much.
Thank you. And if you want to switch it up and play the ukulele anthem, I have a feeling at this time of day it's going to be better than the morose song I chose yesterday.
Oh, brilliant.
So grab the ukulele anthem and see if you can play it.
We'll try and dig that out.
Yeah, for
sure.
All right.
Thank you, Amanda.
Bye.
Oh, she's so cool.
She is amazing. We're going to go straight to her song, In Harm's Way, Amanda Palmer.
What I cannot see cannot be not untrue. Standing on the barrier of me and you. Standing where the ocean meets the sand. We cross though we barely understand. The grass is always greener on the land. What we cannot say cannot be not our fault. Searching for a harbor where the sharks don't. See the ones before me disappearing into light. Why would you go? Thank you.
Present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
You are listening to FUBAR Radio, and we are, I'm not even sure how many hours exactly we are in to the live 24-hour radio marathon, but we're doing it. It's past like 1 p.m, so let's just keep going because we're going all the way till 5 p.m. I'm Johanna James, and I'm joined in the studio by a lovely variety of women, lady guests. Would you like to introduce yourselves? Aline, you kick off.
Hello, I'm Aline.
Hey, Aline! And we also have...
Hi, I'm Emma Walsh.
And we have...
I'm Nye, also known as Naomi Gray.
Naomi Gray.
Yeah.
Welcome, ladies. Welcome.
So Thank you.
Has anyone been on FUBAR before? Or is this your first?
No, first time for me.
Oh, taking your FUBAR virginities. Amazing. Aline, you're a good old FUBAR.
Yeah,
go
I'm
easy.
We go
us.
Way back.
We go way back, babes. This is brilliant. So, I mean, like, we're all in the industry, aren't we? So we're all... grinding for the ladies. Actually, I just wanted to kick off with a couple of little factoids because, as we are, working women. I was looking at because we had the Oscars, didn't we, recently?
Yeah.
And I was looking at like the kind of the stats and the figures for like women in Hollywood and the industry, and women account for 52% of moviegoers, which I was like,
really?
So
yeah. As they should.
They should. So. It was a little bit baffling in a way when you think that, like, if the majority of the audience are female, why are women not either represented or, like, working in that industry? Because it's like, well, it's for the... Okay. And only one woman has ever won Best Director at the Oscars. Ever.
Wow.
In the whole history of all the years of Oscars, only one woman, Catherine Bigelow. So I was like,
Who's on that panel?
Right, ladies. Right, yeah, exactly.
I bet if you look at the Academy stats, though... Is it mostly men?
For what?
For the Academy that vote?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Good thought.
But like Parliament, isn't it? And, also, it took until 2018, this year, for the first woman to be ever nominated for cinematography. So a woman behind the camera. And actually 2% of the top 100 films from last year
were women behind the camera. So I was a little bit like, ladies, grab your cameras. I mean, we're good at taking selfies and all that stuff, but let's turn the camera around.
Yeah, take it to the next level.
And let's make some stuff. I mean, you use a camera.
I make some stuff.
Yeah, you make a camera stuff.
I do make some stuff, yeah.
Would you ever be interested in being a cinematographer? Or
probably not, because if I could choose to, I wouldn't be videoing it myself.
Oh, really?
If I'm honest, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Do you find it hard to... Do you get like vlog arm?
The vlog arm. I've never heard of that. But yeah, you're right, actually. Vlog arm. It's quite heavy. Cameras are heavy.
I'm assuming it's a bit like a wank arm, but...
A vlog arm.
You got a stronger arm muscle there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to being in front of the camera. So when I started YouTube, I had to start doing it myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to learn how to edit and film and stuff. But yeah, I think if I had to choose, I'd definitely ask somebody else to do it.
I find that people... get quite surprised when they find out that I edit and film my own stuff. Like, they're like, oh, you edit? I'm like, yeah, my dad's an editor. He showed me how. And
oh,
like,
that's cool.
I taught myself. And they're like, really baffled. And they come, like, testing me. Like, so what do you use? I'm like, Premiere Pro. And they're like...
Oh, that's proper.
Oh,
you're like, oh,
stuff.
You're proper,
like,
yeah.
She knows. But it's a bit weird, isn't it? Like, it shouldn't really be, like, a...
shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't
be.
No. I mean, but isn't it amazing nowadays that we can just pick up cameras and... edit it all ourselves and write and direct it and just make it all ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I have a bit of a love-hate relationship for technology and the internet and everything, I was talking to my friend last night actually about how sometimes I just want to like get off. Yeah. And I do this thing where I'm like, I log out of Instagram. I'm like, right, no more, off that. What am I doing? I'm bored. And then literally 3 seconds later, I'll be like,
back
in. Just come out of Instagram. And then I'm like, what did I just do? I just went out of Instagram and I've just gone back into Instagram for no reason.
No.
It's a really bad habit. Yeah.
So
it's a bad
addictive.
Habit.
I've got a rule though, like before bed, literally 25 minutes before I go to sleep, I've refused to look at social media.
Yeah, but I make that rule every week and I break that rule every week.
I leave my phone downstairs.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then I'll wake up in the middle of the night to go to the loo and then I'll grab it and take it back up.
We should go. You can lock away. You can get those lock boxes where you lock away your phone and stuff.
Well, there's going to be like therapy, I think, for people that are like obsessed
We're all addicted. Yeah. And I was thinking as well, because I'm of the... I don't know how old you ladies are. It's really hard to tell. But I was of the era where I didn't grow up with a phone. I had a childhood away from phones. I mean, I could pick two TV shows to watch a day. My mum was like, TV off. Yeah. You're going to go do something with your brain.
So, yeah.
Which... I hated her at the time for that, but now
I'm so thankful.
So
I'm
thankful.
So scared for children these days because they just can't entertain themselves.
It's all
unless
iPad.
They have an iPad or something going on. It's actually quite shocking.
But it's no personal interaction. That's what it is. It's like we've forgotten in a
how
lot of ways.
How to talk.
How to speak, and it's almost a bit awkward. Like, should I speak to somebody? Yeah. Should I not? Or should I just look at my phone?
My friends and I have a rule at dinner. All our phones get in the centre of the table, and the first person to pick up the table pays for the bill.
Phone stack.
Because then you have to make conversation. That's what you're supposed to do at dinner.
Exactly.
Catch up.
I'm the weirdo on the tube, though, that does actually speak to people.
Oh, yeah.
You're that person. Everyone's don't talk to me.
Did you want to get one of those badges that said tube chat?
What's that? I've never had
this
that.
This was like a thing for a little bit of a phase where you could get a badge. Instead of saying that you were pregnant, it just said tube chat meant you were open for conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
I have never heard of such a thing in my life.
Can you get one saying that you're single?
Tube chat.
I'm sure we can make one.
You can hit on me, yes, there.
That's madness.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I think also it's kind of like a London thing. I know going out of London, people are a lot more open. They say hi and you'll have a chat and it's not really that big a deal.
Yeah.
But in London, if someone starts talking to you, you're like, oh my God, you fucking weirdo. Like, are you going to steal my purse? And what's going on? Like, everyone's so on edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I secretly love it.
What?
Like, get up really close in the tube and I'm like, oh, this is crowded, isn't it?
That's so cringe.
You're like me then, literally. Seriously have these convos. I met a girl, literally, I was like crossing the road and it was only me and her standing at the traffic lights. She was just there like humming a song. So I was like, oh, hi, do you sing? And just started having a convo and I was like, she might think I'm trying to chat her up, but I just wanted to just say hi and be like, you know.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, well.
Have you ever been chatted up by a lady?
Yeah.
Anyone here? Yeah. Yes, definitely.
She was like, yeah, I'm in.
Regularly. Yeah, I got chatted up by a lady once and I was so flattered.
Yeah,
and
same.
And I didn't want to, like, tell her that I wasn't.
Yeah.
And so she was just like, oh, do you want to go for a drink? And I was
like... Yeah,
but
what did she say to you? Was it, like, really obvious? Because I don't know when people, like, girls chatting me up.
Because
everyone's so friendly.
I was working in a fabric shop and she was buying something. So I was giving her advice and we were just having a great chat about this and that and sewing. And then she suddenly got, like, really nervous and started like tucking her hair behind her ears and stuff, you know, all the signs.
You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. And then she was just like, sorry, but would you like to go for a drink? So I think it was obviously like a and I was just like, oh, and then I started getting all nervous and stuff and was like, do I fancy you? I mean, she's gorgeous, but I don't know. And I was like, oh, sorry, I'm with someone. I said,
did you make it out?
Well, no, I actually did have a boyfriend. But I think, did I? Must have done. But I didn't want to say, oh, sorry, I have a boyfriend. I was like, oh, sorry, I'm with someone. And she was like, oh, of course you are. And then like, okay, yeah. Bye.
And that was
like,
bye.
But yeah. That was like my little brief encounter into...
Oh, I feel like I've missed out.
A little lesbian love story.
Maybe it's happened and you just don't know.
Yeah.
I feel that like it probably has
but
happened.
But I usually,
yeah.
I mean, with guys, I think everyone's always chatting me up.
Guys just chat people up in general.
Someone's
yeah.
like, can I look at your ticket, please, ma'am? And you're like, Jesus! Can I just get the train in peace? Jesus!
Not again.
Trying to get my knickers.
We just want to see your eye contact.
Your rail card, please, ma'am.
No. That's it, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, here, talking about like sort of feminism, women, do you wait for guys or girls to approach you, or do you feel pretty confident to go chat someone up?
Oh, I mean, I'm in there.
Yeah,
I'm
not scared. She's in there. Right in there. On the tube.
On the tube. Tube chat.
No one else in the carriage. You sit right next to them. So it's really crowded in here, isn't it?
In Holland, it's totally fine, all these things, you know.
I see.
The Dutchness is...
quite straightforward, yeah. Same with South Africa.
I'm kind of like, we've got all the different continents we can talk internationally
Very
about.
Very international.
It. But I feel like I'm just a kind of like, let's just cut the crap, let's just get straight to it. I think if I wanted to ask a guy out, I would.
Yeah.
Mm. And I can't be bothered with all that like text rules. I'm like, oh my God, you can't text them for like a day. Yeah. And my friends, and I'm like,
I don't get that.
I'm like, no, if I want to text someone, I'm just going to like, I'm just going to text you.
Yeah.
Come on. It's 2018, and I nearly got the date wrong there. Like, 2012, like, people, we can do this. It's scary how time is flying. Isn't
yeah,
it?
But, true. I feel like those rules are a little bit outdated, though.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
text rules. Those are like before WhatsApp and
I mean, now it's... I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm... All my friends and stuff, I'm really into voice notes.
Okay.
Oh,
I find
they're
like
fun.
It's a really good
it's
medium.
It's a lot more personal as well, also, because a lot of people... perceive your messages the where
the
you haven't actually
way.
Said them, and you're like, hang on a minute, I didn't say it like that at all.
Exactly.
So voice notes are quite...
I think I should voice note
quite handy.
Yeah, it's really good.
You could sing note.
And
true,
you can
sure.
sing note. If you'd like a personal sing note, you know me, then just follow our Twitter at FUBAR Radio. Voice notes. And I found that people who aren't into voice notes get really weirded out by it, because suddenly you send this, I send these really animated, aggressive voice notes being like, hi, how are you? But all my like sort of close friends, we just voice note. We don't even call each other, which I find weird. I was like, we could have done this on a phone call. I'm a bit scared of the phone calls now.
Is that about like phone call anxiety?
I know.
Oh, my phone rings and I'm like, do I answer it?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's my mum.
Especially if it's like unplanned.
Yeah.
We did not arrange this phone call.
No.
So, we cannot have this phone call.
I'm kind of busy.
Talk, yeah.
It's not in my diary.
I will voice note you in 1 second.
Yes, exactly.
One thing with the voice notes is that you've got to be careful where you are when you're listening to them, because...
Oh, yeah.
So my friends will voice note, but I message back. So I haven't really got into the voice note thing. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just like...
Yet.
More of a writer. Yeah, exactly. So I'm always there writing. But then I have to say, like, can I listen to this? I'm on the train. Can I listen to... Is this appropriate to play it out loud? Because...
Well, I just go...
Do you not have headphones?
But you can put it to your... You can use it like a phone.
Yeah.
So you can just press play and
then
put it to
you. I think because I'm typing, I'm just like... I think, oh, play. And I'm like, oh no, they might just say something like really rude or just really...
I'll make someone's day. I think it's great. My friend was voice noting me about like a hookup she had.
Amazing.
And she was like, is anyone around you? And I'm like, no, it's fine. And she just said, obviously there were people around me.
You were playing
and
it on
like,
the radio.
You're like, look at this. Should I play it on the radio after the break? She'll kill me. She'll kill me.
Do it.
But no, it was really funny. She was talking about how she needed to... anal douche for the first time.
Play this
full on.
You have to play it.
Where was I? I was in an office. There were people around for sure. It's all right, she can remain anonymous, but if she's listening now, she'd be like, oh my God,
I know it's me.
But you know, I mean, if you need to find an emergency anal douche, and she was talking about trying to find things in her house that
what is an anal douche?
Like, so basically, before you go to have anal sex, the etiquette is, apparently, according to my gay friends, is you gotta wash out that canal, you know. So a douche, which is like a pretty old school way of cleaning inside. You can do a vaginal douche or an anal douche. We're learning so much today on this.
It's a whole new thing.
Wow, so you squirt it up there and make sure it all comes out.
So I'm thinking like a turkey baster.
Is that kind of like an enema?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all just cleaning
it all
out. I mean,
that's commitment.
So, like, a turkey baster would be good, but, like, if you don't, you know, who bastes a turkey nowadays?
You've
so
got to be prepared, though, exactly. as well. It's like, what if you're just in the moment? So, sorry, hold on a minute.
Excuse me.
I'm just going to go and get douche my little...
a bit. So that's the thing about sort of anal sex can't really be that spontaneous. It's got to be planned. You've got to book it in. Like
book
a phone call. Like a phone call. You're booking your phone
you've
calls.
You've got to want that phone to ring if you're not prepared, yeah.
For sure. Right, we're going to pop to a song now. We are continuing. If you've just joined us, it's Food
sorry.
Bar Radio.
If you've just joined us, sorry.
If you've just joined us and you're like, what are you talking about? We haven't... a chit chat with my lovely guest today. We've got more guests coming on the show. We are doing a 24-hour radio marathon on Food Bar Radio in conjunction with the hashtag He For She campaign with UN Women. So keep listening, please, because we've got way more funny anecdotes coming up. Right, what am I going to play? Actually, we're going to play You Know Me.
Go for it.
We're going to do it. And, oh, I'm afraid, Naomi, we're going to salute you. And sign you off. My producers are talking to me and saying
that's okay.
Who's staying, who's going. So thank you so much, Emma, and thank you so much, Naomi. We're going to play your song. This is Signs,
thank
isn't
you.
It?
Yes, thank you for having me.
Let's have a little groovy listen to this. Lovely.
Present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
Yes, this is Food Bar Radio, and we are doing a live 24-hour show. It is a radio marathon, and we're going really well. We're heading... It's nearly 2 p.m., but we've got plenty more on this hour to do. We're joined by a new co-host, woo-hoo! Sarah Love. Welcome.
Thank you, love. I'm so happy to be here. What an amazing job you guys have been doing.
Have you managed to listen to anything so far?
I have. I was dipping in and out since yesterday.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
We were just talking about anal douching. The variety on this show is impressive.
That was when
impressive.
I walked into the green room. I was like,
Oh, lovely.
Yes, this wow. is key information.
Well, you know, people need to know it's Saturday night. We need to get prepped. We need to get some prep here. In the studio, we also have Rav. Welcome.
Hello.
Step up to the mic.
It's me.
Thank you very much for joining us. And we also have Aline. She's stuck around.
I'm still here.
She's sticking around. We're doing this all to support the hashtag he for she. You guys can get involved and you can text UNWN15 followed by the amount you'd like to donate to 770. Please do, because we're all going a bit mental. Everyone from the producers the co-hosts, the guests, everyone here. We're trying to do a 24-hour marathon. Please support the cause. And all money donated is going towards changing the reality for women and girls globally. So that is a very good cause.
Amazing.
I mean, let's start the convo. Rav, do you like ladies?
I do.
You are the he for she.
I am the he for she right now. I am a male ally. I'm here to support you guys.
Oh, ally. Woo! Yes. Rav the ally. Brilliant. And just to tell the audience, if they've just jumped in, what do you do on the day-to-day, Rav?
Well, I was on a show called The Great British Bake Off.
Oh. Yes, how far did you get?
So in 2016, I did 6 out of the 10 weeks.
Oh, amazing.
And then I went back on the 1st of January this year for the festive edition, which I won.
Christmas
cake! So you're amongst the winner, guys.
Yes. We're all winners at life.
We are. We are.
So how did you get into baking? And
well, funnily enough, it was my sister who inspired me. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm Indian. I don't want to shock you all.
No way. Oh, I thought that was just a very trendy...
No. Yes, it's very on trend. But yeah, I grew up in a household with two very strong Indian women who encouraged me to be in the kitchen, which was kind of unusual because Indian guys don't usually spend their time in the kitchen.
Oh, really?
But my mom lovingly said, if your sister has to learn how to cook, you have to learn how to cook. There's no difference
here. I really like your mum. I like your mum already.
She's a legend. She's a legend.
What a legend.
My sister was baking. She inspired me to bake. But I took it to a whole other level by going on TV.
Amazing.
So there.
I mean, exactly. There's a lot of things I wouldn't do on TV, but one of them would be baking.
You would do it or you wouldn't?
Wouldn't. I panic when people watch me cook or bake, and I don't follow recipes. I just kind of try and experiment, and I'll just see what comes out at the end.
It's a bit like doing maths when someone's watching over your shoulder.
But imagine having a camera thrust in your face, two producers yelling at you.
That's crazy.
What are they yelling?
Asking you questions, telling you how much time you've got left, because there's no smoke and mirrors. You only get the set amount of time.
Really? There's no. I always wonder that on food shows. Do they have a little bit of wiggle room, or is it literally
not at all?
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's even more impressive. Well done.
But I hear that when you go to, say, curry houses, they're always run by men, though, actually cooking. Is that true?
Well, yes. But in terms of a day-to-day kind of at home, a woman's place is in the kitchen.
So it's only if it's a commercial enterprise?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, men cook commercially?
Yes.
And women cook...
In the house.
I'm trying to think of a word that rhymed with commercially in the house. It didn't work, no. Nope. See, rhymes. Pressure of performing. So do you like cook? What's your favourite thing to bake?
I love macarons, French macarons. I'm not a big fan of meringue. So you
I fought a meringue once. I tried. I had like a meringue battle because there was this lady in my church who cooked the most beautiful meringue, which was like crispy on the outside and chewy on the inside. Because I hate those like puffy.
That's
like,
how they're supposed to be.
Polystyrene meringues that you get in like Sainsbury's. I was like, nah, stuff that. So I was trying to get this chewy meringue, but honestly, like. It's some kind of like wizard art to get like a meringue right, and I couldn't do it. And I remember I went through about 18 eggs, and I kept running to the shop to get more eggs, because if you don't whisk it in a certain way, or if there's like a slight amount of grease in the bowl, the whole thing will just collapse. And in the end,
baking
is
a science, so you have to be very very precise.
That would be why, because I was just shoving it in there and just hoping.
You have to be aware of temperature. You have to be aware of humidity. There's a lot of things that you have to be aware of when you're baking.
But you know, when you take sort of a hobby to a professional level, so Johanna and I, when we watch comedies, I'm sure we depict it. When you go to a restaurant and just having a nice meal with your family, do you think about the cooking and like think about the ingredients?
What do you mean? Am I critical of the stuff that
I'm presenting? Are you like judging, wondering, thinking?
No. I because I've been in a competitive environment when it comes to baking, I appreciate how much time and effort people put in. So I try not to criticize.
Okay.
Because for me, baking is an act of love. When you're giving it to somebody, you put a lot of heart into it and you want people to appreciate it. So the last thing that I would want to do when it comes to stuff that I've made is for people to criticize
it. You're such a good person.
I try and find the positives.
I always feel like that's the best kind of cuisine, food made with love.
Yeah.
You can taste it.
yeah.
Yeah, you can. Absolutely. You can, for sure.
Did you do any kind of Indian cuisine when you were on Bake Off?
I did. So a lot of my style is fusion baking, and I get a lot of influence from my Indian background. I made a Diwali bread centerpiece. So I had three different types of bread. One had like a masala sauce inside.
I'm getting hungry.
You're actually making me dribble a little bit now.
One had a spicy coriander pesto, and the other one had this tamarind coconut chutney.
Oh.
So a lot of Indian influence.
I'm making sex noises now.
moving away from the microphone.
Say chutney again. Say chutney again.
Do you like to cook?
I do enjoy cooking, yeah. I mean, I'm very passionate about food. I guess some people might say OCD.
Okay.
But no, passionate.
Passionate.
Yes, it's healthy. But no, I have quite strong opinions about food, I think, as well. So,
opinions?
Well, I just avoid... I don't believe in eating... Well, I just believe in avoiding processed food. Like, I just have theories about how our digestive system has evolved over millennia, and that it makes sense for us to eat food that's kind of in clean. Harmony with what our how our bodies meant to work.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of how... I can't even remember last time I ate a MacD's or something. Like, just the word is enough to make me want to vomit, really.
I'm
so.
Not actually
but chutney.
Sure. Yeah, but
say
chutney.
Again.
But a nice chutney. Yeah. Are you a meat eater or...?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm a strict vegetarian, but I hardly ever eat meat. Like, I will in certain circumstances, like I say, at my friend's farm where we kill the chicken ourselves and pluck its feathers and eat it. Because I know the life that that animal has lived, it's had a dignified existence, it's had a dignified death. I know it's not been eating a steady diet of its own feces sort of thing. And so I'm happy to absorb, good energy into my body, not negativity.
I transitioned into veggie about 9 months ago.
Okay, and, well done.
Yeah, it was great. Like, really, really great. I don't even miss meat.
Have any of you ever gone vegan?
Yeah, I'm a flexi-vegan.
You're a flexi-vegan. I did vegan for about 6 months.
Oh, really?
And? Yeah.
And then what
it's really
happened?
Tough. Then,
are you a veggie? Or no?
You went one way and then you went totally the other. I only eat meat now.
No, I don't only eat meat. But yeah, I did the vegan thing, but then Brie was calling my name, so I had to.
This is the thing. This is why I'm a flexi-vegan. So sometimes I'll make exceptions. But I do always think, like, oh, we're fish. I could have killed a shrimp. Yeah, I can live with that. But okay. I don't think I could kill a whole cow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was even thinking about it last night, actually, because I had a holiday in Puerto Rico, and we came off of this island, and there were, like, the fishermen there in the front, and then we were just eating loads of these fresh shellfish. Like, they were still... I remember that they were still alive, so you squeeze the lemon on them, and they were kind of shriveling the shell. And then I was like, I know they don't have a brain, but I still felt kind of guilty. But, yeah, this goes back to my kind of idea about food. I think if you're not prepared to kill it yourself, should you really be eating
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I think you should step back from the table. If you can kill it yourself, cool, crack on.
And milk, that's the one that really gets me, that I never thought about
before.
I don't
drink milk.
No.
Yeah, well, there's this whole shift in the dairy industry now, because also you can get so many milk alternatives. Like, you can get coconut milk and almond milk and soya milk, and like there's actually no need. And when somebody actually like kind of explained it to me in another way, and they're like, milk is it's breast milk for baby cows, and it's full of like serious hormones to grow a tiny cow into a huge cow. Would you like to put that into your body?
And there's this amazing thing called the Chinese study, where women in China, because they don't drink milk, don't get breast cancer. And as soon as they leave China and go to the Western world and start consuming milk products, they do get the same rate of breast cancer.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know this information. This information needs to be...
I was coming here with a few facts for you.
This information needs to be, like, on the tube or something. Like, I need to see this shit.
Honestly.
Okay.
No, but watch this film, Cowspiracy. Have you seen that?
I haven't yet.
Watch that. Because, I mean, a lot of how the industrialized food system works is it's about keeping the consumer away from the realities of how their food
smoke
is produced.
Mirror.
So,
smoke
I mean,
mirror.
When you actually see cow's milk before it's been all pasteurized and stuff, it's quite gross because there's a lot of pus and blood and stuff like that in there in your tea, your cereal in the morning.
And they inseminate them and then they take away the cow.
Nobody's drinking tea right now. Yeah,
someone's listening to the radio just like regurgitating their tea back into their... Yeah. I think I'll have a whiskey.
Sorry, guys.
But we did evolve and grow to be how we are now because we were able to have milk and meat. So, I mean, there is a pro and a con to each story.
Yeah, true. That's Elaine being fair. Being fair and square. Rav, thank you so much for joining us today telling us about the behind the scenes bake off. This has been brilliant. We're going to have to salute you and say goodbye. But thank you so, so much for joining us. And guys, if you are just joining us, we are doing a 24-hour radio marathon in support of the hashtag He For She campaign. You can follow our Twitter at FooBar Radio, find out all the information and how you guys can get involved and donate to the cause. That would be fabulous. Right, we're going to pop to a little song-a-rooney. Let's have a look. Maybe there's a song that's popping out here called Dangerous Woman by Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. I just like the title of that. I've never heard it. Let's give it a whack that on it. And see what's going on. Are you a dangerous woman, Aline?
I am very dangerous. Dangerous
woman. So when you sit next to you on the tube. Oh, danger.
I got called dangerous yesterday, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
What, on the tube?
No.
What were you doing?
I had a bomb on me. No.
Oh. Didn't. And cue Ariana.
Don't need permission, made my decision to test my limits. Cause it's my business, God is my witness, stop what I finished. Don't need no holder, taking control of this kind of moment. I'm locked and loaded, completely focused, my mind is open. All that you got, skin to skin, oh my God, don't you stop, boy. Something about you makes me feel like a dangerous woman. Something about you makes me wanna do things that I shouldn't. Something about nothing to prove and I'm bulletproof and know what I'm doing. The way we're moving, like introducing us to a new thing. I wanna save it for later, the taste of flavor. Cause I'm a taker, cause I'm a giver. It's only nature, I live for danger. All that you got, skin to skin, oh my God.
is Dangerous Woman by Ariana Grande. And on the phone lines right now, we've got Marie Cornelissen, Director of UN Women NC Netherlands, and Sophie van Vinden and Anne-Marie Duvar from the play Holy F on the phone. Hello!
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 I'm so sorry if I've mispronounced any of your names, but welcome to our show. How are you all today?
Well, fine, thank you. We just performed Holy F, our performance at the He for She Week in Amsterdam. So we're very excited because it was I think it was a good one, right?
Yes, it was a very nice one. And yeah, especially because it's International Women's Day and it's because of the festival, the play was really, in a special way, embraced today. So
yes,
it was nice to do it.
Well, talk us through the play. I understand it takes the audience on a roller coaster tour of feminism through the ages. So tell us more about the play.
Mm. Well, yeah, that's about it, actually, because yeah, we wanted to know where are we now as women, where do we stand, where do we stand for? And so we thought to say something about that, we have to look back and bring the history on stage. So we chose to choose some women, some writers from history, and let them talk to people in the present. So what would Virginia Woolf say to a modern woman, or mm. what would Simone de Beauvoir say to a man now?
Mm.
And together with us, we took a writer, a female writer, who's still alive, with us on stage, who is like twittering about us while we are playing all these characters from history.
Wow.
And she also tries to tell us a story how she sees the future. And that's the end of the play.
That's the end of the play. How has it been received? Like, for us here doing this radio show for the He for She campaign, it's been a fantastic, everyone here has been very enthusiastic, excited. So how has the play been received by others?
Well, I think it's pretty good. It's nice because we played it 1.5 years ago, and we see that now the time is even more, it's even more alive now. People are more woke, and it's really great that you have these reactions from the audience. That they're very like, yeah, this is the story, and you have to go on now, and I feel like encouraged to tell these stories. So that's really great.
Mm. It feels so different now to play this because 1.5 years ago, some people in the audience actually asked us, is this really necessary to talk about feminism?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little bit old-fashioned? yeah, exactly. And now that this whole question is non-existing. Mm. Everybody is enthusiastic. People are crying after we are done, and it's really nice.
Yeah, because you said nowadays people are more woke and things to these kind of issues. But in some ways, do you think maybe we're at risk of complacency when it comes to women's issues and stuff? Because, you know, for this generation, all we've known is, yeah, that's just the way it is. But do these standards get held up by themselves? Or is this like through, we need to keep these, topics in discussion?
Yeah, I think we're not done yet. I mean, was one of the questions we asked in the play as well. Mm. If it's not equal yet, then it's no question if it's done or not. It's just not equal yet, so we're not done. We have to go on. So I think, of course, there's a lot of, we achieved a lot, and there are women before us who did a lot for the place that, where we can live in now, but there's still a lot going on also in other places in the world, of course. So, yeah.
But that's the thing. We've got to be the change, haven't we? So by having campaigns like this, we are ultimately helping other females in other parts of the world, aren't we?
I hope so, yes, yeah, of course.
Eventually.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea, of course, of the He for She Arts Week as well, is to combine forces with men and also across borders with everyone who wants to stand up against discrimination and violence against women.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic campaign. I tell you, I found as well during the show that it, just by having the conversation, just by talking men and women together about this, is the beginning of a change. Don't you think as well?
Absolutely, yeah. It's such a positive thing to approach it with art, to leave people feeling excited afterwards, having seen something beautiful, but also something that touches their hearts. We are used to, as UN women, to use all kinds of figures and facts and logical arguments to touch people's minds. But there's nothing like art to actually touch people's hearts and guts, and that is really powerful.
Definitely.
Yeah, it really, really is. And Arts Week, well, obviously we've still got many days still to go, but it's just fantastic. And do you see it every year getting bigger and bigger?
Well, we sure, certainly hope so. I mean, this is the first time in Amsterdam. And,
wow, I didn't realise.
Yeah. So we started, of course, on the 8th, last Thursday, with a brilliant opening party, with a film showing with experimental short films by female directors. And that was already so exciting. And yesterday we were at a photo exposition with pictures of women who'd suffered violence, and you could put an iPod in your ear while looking at the picture where she tells her own story, which was also really, really powerful. And so we have a great lineup of more events throughout the week. So yeah, we're extremely excited, and we hope that next year will be even bigger.
Well, look, thank you for talking to us. It's so exciting being part of the Arts Week and working with the UN Women. So thank you so, so much. And, well, have a wonderful part of the day. Do you know what? I still don't really know what time it is, where I am.
You're out of it. You're
what am I doing?
She's jet-lagged.
Delirious.
I do feel like I'm jet-lagged.
Yeah, because you're getting to the end of your 24-hour broadcast now, darling.
Yeah, we got three hours left.
Three more hours
to go.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hashtag he for she. I like the hashtag change the narrative. I think that's really good.
It's amazing.
Good.
It really is. All to do with the fairy tales and everything we have been taught before. I believe we've got to say goodbye to you, Johanna.
I'm bowing out. Thank you so much for having me. Really exciting.
Yes. It's been brilliant, hasn't it? Like,
it's been brilliant. Yeah.
It's a good atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere.
It's exciting. Do you know what? This year, I feel, especially with the hashtag Me Too and the... forgot what the campaign was at the Oscars this year.
Time's up.
That's the one. Me Too and Time's Up. Got so many hashtags. Like, what?
Yeah.
But I actually do feel like a change in the winds. Like, I know that people have talked about this before, but there are some big names getting behind this. Mm. And I really do feel like the industry is shifting. Inclusion rider. Inclusion fucking rider.
All I'm
going to say is inclusion rider, all right? brilliant. Yeah. Have a really good 3 hours. You can do this.
Yeah, yes.
Sugar.
This is the easy bit, the home straight. Thank you,
that's
Johanna.
That's all right.
We're going to take a few minutes break. We're going to listen to All the Small Things by Blink-182. Back shortly.
Love this song.